WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Nashville-based singer-songwriter Fred Kohler believes that there are hundreds of songs out there waiting to be published. He hopes his book, How to Pitch and Promote Your Songs, helps the aspiring songwriter figure out what to do. Fred Kohler's own songs have been recorded by such country singers as Kathy Mateo, Lacey Dalton, and the Oak Ridge Boys. Ever since Kohler arrived in Nashville from Chicago in the early 70s, he's been writing songs with other people. Some of these collaborations can be heard on Kohler's second record, Songs from the Night Before. Kohler's first disc, Night of the Living Fred, he produced himself and sold through a post office box and from the back of concert halls. Kohler is partial to novelty songs. He wrote this song, Let's Talk Dirty in Hawaiian, with John Prine.
I packed my bags and bought myself a ticket for the land of the tall palm tree. Aloha, old Milwaukee. Hello, Waikiki. As I stepped down from the airplane, where I heard her say, Wacka Wacka Nuka Licka, Wacka Wacka Nuka Licka, would you like a lay? Let's talk dirty in Hawaii. Whisper in my ear.
I've been collaborating almost ever since I came to Nashville, and I'd had the idea for Let's Talk Dirty for a while, and often when I have a real humorous idea like that, I'd kind of set it on the back burner and wait to get together with someone like Shel Silverstein, who I've written lots of songs with. But Prime was there, and he really loved the idea, and we sat down and just tried to make it as humorous as possible. In an ideal collaborative situation, both writers are bringing out the best in the other writer, but they're creating a third personality that's going to sort of, you know, appeal to Prime's audience, it will appeal to my audience, and it will also appeal to this third personality where I'm sort of balancing out John's sense of humor and he's balancing out mine. And you really, I believe, I often get a better song through a collaboration.
I understand that this song started out originally as Let's Talk Dirty in Norwegian so you could get on a Prairie Home Companion.
That, now, yes, that is a true story. It's we were hoping that we could crack that show, but didn't quite get there.
So it became Let's Talk Dirty in Hawaiian. How did you make the jump from Norwegian to Hawaiian in the song?
Luckily, John had a book called Instant Hawaiian, which he'd bought. He'd been honeymooning there with his wife, and, he just broke out this little book and went through it and decided we weren't going to use any real Hawaiian words. And from that point on, it was a Hawaiian classic.
You've worked with Shel Silverstein, who I was quite astonished to learn, actually is a songwriter as well as a children's book writer. He wrote A Boy Named Sue, and then he collaborated with you on a song called Little Green Buttons.
Oh, Shel's written. He wrote the Unicorn song, you know, that Irish drinking song that all the Irish bands did. He wrote all the Dr. Hook things, like Cover the Rolling Stone and Sylvia's Mother and all those songs. He's written beautiful ballads. I mean, Shel just writes all kinds of songs, and both of us have kind of the same singing style. I'm not sure how we both really got together, but our paths kept crossing in Chicago and in Champaign, and then I ran into him down here, and I played him a couple song ideas, and he invited me out to California, where he was living at the time, and we sat down and wrote like 40 songs in 3 weeks. It was a very strange collaborative experience. And since then, we just try to get together maybe once or twice a year and write one or two songs. And the last time Shel was through, we were just sitting there playing guitar, wondering what to write about. And the next thing we knew, we had this Little Green Button song.
The honeymoon ended a decade ago. Now if he still loves her, he don't say so. She's taking her blues to the house of tattoos. Getting little green buttons on her birthday suit. Little green buttons all in a row. From her face to the place they ain't ever gonna show. Might sound crazy, sure look cute, she put
red or green buttons on her birthday suit.
How did you decide which line to, I mean, did you, was it a conscious decision? One of you worked on the chorus, one of you worked on the lyrics?
No, it's kind of like doing a crossword puzzle where both of us are working on all three verses and the chorus at one time. Once we had the image there, you know, the little green buttons on her birthday suit, we wanted it to be basically the story, a typical country type song where, you know, the relationship is bad, but rather than threatening of going down to the bar and picking up some tall, dark stranger or any of those typical Nashville type things, we figured, let's give this a little bit more of a twist. And so we, you know, had her going down to the House of Tattoos. I started out as an art student at the Art Institute of Chicago, and the way I look at a song when it's finished is it should be able to be illustrated by a single frame. Almost any song on my album or any song that I've written hopefully will give the listener that sort of image, which will also make it easier for them to remember what the song was when they want to hear it again.
Heart to Heart is a collaboration between you and John Hiatt, who's John Hiatt's reputation is increasingly soaring. How did the two of you work together on Heart to Heart?
Well, John and I have known each other ever since we both came to Nashville in the early 70s. And well, once again, he came over to my house one morning, and we decided to write a song that was two people on a highway going somewhere. And that was going to be sort of the scenario for the song. But we wanted to also have a strong ray of hope, where the relationship wasn't over. And you could tell by listening to the song that the singer really wanted to save the relationship.
Well, I understand it. You know, the secret of a good country western song is you've really got to feel the emotions, the pain, the romantic angst that's being sung about. So here's this line. How can I possibly know what's wrong when you don't open your mouth? You've been giving me the silent treatment ever since we headed south. Has this happened to you, or did it happen to John? Was this a personal experience you brought into
the song?
I think
everyone's been on that car trip. Everyone, hey, you know, where someone wanted to stop somewhere else, or you wanted to leave a little bit earlier, or you don't have time to go see, you know, Santa's Village or whatever, and, you know, silence breaks out in the car, and it's just, I think everyone's been there. But I like starting with a real strong line that will grab the listener and make them say, what is this song about? And I also like to keep it conversational.
You know, we never did nothing before we couldn't talk about. If I'd known this was the road to nowhere, I might have took a different route. Side by side, I'm staring straight ahead. Have you heard a single word I've said? The road is getting rough, I believe I had enough. I'm feeling like I've been misled. We need a heart to heart. You and I can't see anything eye to eye. We're together but we're miles apart. Need a heart to heart.
Your book is part of a series of books put out by a Writer's Digest, which helps people, you know, learn how to send articles off to magazines and so forth. Are you giving false hopes to people about being a songwriter?
It's not going to happen overnight, but it can be done. I see it being done because it's one of those industries that never has enough. There's always a new act, and the new act puts out two albums a year of 10 songs each. That's 20 songs. There's probably 100 country western acts that are selling, you know, pretty well that would have name recognition. So right there you've got 2,000 songs. I mean, there's a lot of songs that are necessary to keep the wheels turning and the industry going. And they're always looking for fresh material.
In the music business in Nashville, how does a songwriter distribute her or his song? Is it on sheet music nowadays? Is it on a cassette? How is the song passed around to be heard and attract the notice of a performer?
I highly recommend using a single song cassette, which can be purchased with a little work. You get like a 12-minute cassette. You can just put one song on. I try to find the one song in my catalog that I feel best matches where I think that artist is heading direction-wise. And I send them one song at a time on the cassette to a variety of sources, just hoping that it'll be listened to.
How do you work around the problem of publishers not wanting unsolicited material to avoid copyright infringement suits? I mean, is material listened to that's just sent in over the transom?
Well, they keep recording albums full of songs, so somebody must be listening to something. And it amazes me because I hear great songs when I do seminars around the country. And I really wish that more publishers would get out there and listen to some of these people and help them learn the craft. Because if they don't start bringing some people in, I'm afraid that there will be a shortage. I mean, you can't keep flogging the same old songs. People want fresh material. There's a certain magic to a new song.
Well, I want to thank you very much, Fred Kohler, for coming in and talking with us today on Fresh Air.
Thank you so much. Hopefully there's a lot of songwriters out there who will either bring it to Nashville or just develop their own songwriting networks in their own towns.
Thank you.